This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Mungs. All this week, WVXU is looking back at the civil unrest that occurred after police shot and killed a black teenager in Cincinnati back in 2001. The next in our series looks at an agreement that came about shortly after. A 2002 lawsuit led to what's known as the Collaborative Agreement among the ACLU, the Cincinnati Black United Front, the City of Cincinnati, and the Fraternal Order of Police. It required police to adopt community problem-oriented policing. The agreement included establishing the Citizen Complaint Authority, one of the first independent police oversight boards in the country. The CCA investigates all cases of serious police interactions like firing a weapon or when a person dies in custody. But it's just now beginning work on some of the key goals. WVXU reporter Becca Costello has more.
Cincinnati is often cited as a model for other cities looking to establish police oversight boards. CCA Executive Director Gabe Davis says the city has a nearly 20-year head start.
We're not there just to audit what's done by the police. We're really there to do an independent investigation with independent resources to do that. And that is quite unique. There are only a few jurisdictions that do have that kind of structure.
The investigations are time-consuming, with a review of all evidence, including body-worn camera footage. Investigators conduct interviews with officers and witnesses and can issue subpoenas. Budget cuts have kept the CCA short-staffed for years. That changed a couple months ago, soon after Davis took the helm, facing a backlog of 130 cases more than 3 months old. Some are considerably older, like Ayanna Riley's complaint from more than 2 years ago. Officer Dennis Barnett saw Riley fighting with someone outside a nightclub. When he grabbed Riley, she flailed her arms and struck him in the face. A CCA investigator describes what happened next.
As he placed her against the hood, he referred to her as follows, quote, "racial slur slapped me in the face."
The CCA investigation wrapped up in February, long after the police department completed an internal investigation. It determined Barnett violated the code of conduct and gave him a 56-hour suspension without pay. But an arbitrator later overturned that discipline, leaving Riley frustrated.
I had to pay my debt to society for the things that I did. I don't think it's going to be right that he doesn't pay his for the things that he did. And I had to go through hell with courts and fighting it. You know, they dropped my charge down, but I had 2 years of probation I had to go through for my mistake. What did he have to go through for his?
The CCA can't discipline officers directly. Davis says it can only make suggestions.
So we recommended in that case a set of steps that we thought would prevent future decisions from being overturned by arbitrators.
Investigations take up the vast majority of the CCA's time, but are just one piece of its mission, which is to prevent misconduct, not just respond to it. The group is supposed to analyze data, identify patterns, do community engagement, and mediation, most of which is on the back burner.
Where there is a will, there is a way, and let's be about it.
Iris Rowley is no stranger to facing a huge challenge. Her work with the Black United Front 20 years ago is a large part of why the CCA exists today.
Even in the beginning, it was met with much resistance. And so I'm quite sure much resistance still applies to this day.
Rowley says even with a tiny budget, the CCA has sent many policy recommendations to Cincinnati police.
But unfortunately, the police department rarely reports back and rarely enters into any dialogue regarding the recommendations.
That might change under Davis's leadership. He says he's encouraged by communication with Chief Elliot Isaac so far.
I think all parties are working in good faith, and I think there's a genuine effort to really collaborate here on this.
The city manager is reviewing CPD's official response to recommendations from the past 3 years. A police spokesperson says department leaders are also encouraged by recent communication. Davis says the first step to make progress is more funding. He wants $430,000 in the next city budget. Thanks to federal stimulus funding, Davis is likely to get the full request. Despite its shortcomings, the CCA is still a model for other communities. Iris Rowley's advice to others is to make sure an oversight board can issue discipline. She has advice for Cincinnatians, too, who might feel the weight of everything that still needs to be done.
Don't stop being hopeful. I would also say to those of us who have the ability and opportunity and the power to change things to do it sooner than later, stop dragging it out. You're dragging people's lives out.
Rolly and Davis are hopeful full funding will make it possible to finally address all the CCA's goals to work toward more equitable community policing. Becca Costello, 91.7 WVXU.
And you are listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I am Michael Monks. And joining us now to talk about police reform are Cincinnati Black United Front member and Collaborative Agreement Project Manager Iris Rolly. Iris, welcome back to our show. We also have
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here. Thank you.
Our pleasure to have you. We also have with us Friedman, Gilbert, and Gerhard Stein, attorney and partner Al Gerhard Stein. Al, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here.
Cincinnati City Manager Paula Boggs-Muthing is also with us. Paula, welcome back.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for inviting me.
Sure. And Senior Assistant City Solicitor Emily Werner. Emily, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
And Iris, I want to start with you because we just heard some remarks you made in that feature story from our reporter, Becca Costello. You talked about how people who have the ability to make change should not be dragging their feet. They should act now. Would you expand upon that thought for us? What do you mean?
Yeah, Michael, we've seen, we know that we have the opportunity to change things right now. And some of the things that we have been able to do, we've been able to do it and not when someone is hurt or someone is shot or there is trauma in the community. So there's a lot of things that are still left from the original CA, from the refresh, that all of us, all parties to the agreement, need to be at the table vigorously figuring out how to implement the recommendations. It's been 3 years since we signed on to it, implementing those recommendations, and that's just far too long. And so I'm looking towards the city administration, to the police administration, to getting these things done quicker. Then sooner than later. And that is how you are the model. We should not wait until something happens negatively between police and the Black community, or police and someone with mental health issues, or a pregnant woman or children. We should be about implementing consistently things that will ensure that all citizens in the city of Cincinnati are treated fair and that there is an equitable and transparent process here.
Paula Boggs-Muthing is the city manager at the city of Cincinnati. Paula, is that characterization fair? I mean, does the city government itself need to be more proactive in these conversations?
Well, I think the city has certainly, since I became interim city manager and then permanent city manager, we have really tried to be deliberate about our engagement with the community. And you know, I think that the police chief is committed to the collaborative in just the way you would want a police chief to be committed to those principles. Certainly, we in the administration are committed to it, and we have provided our list of collaborative refresh goals for 21 to 22 to the manager's advisory group. I expect that we will accomplish those and have a lot of input from the MAG as we move through that process. So I understand Iris's position because it is important to have people pushing, you know, pushing folks in the right direction, but we are committed to this work.
Al Gerhard Stein is with the law firm Friedman, Gilbert and Gerhard Stein. Al, we are talking a bit about the refresh of the collaborative agreement and what people want to see happen with it moving forward. But take us back to 20 years ago and the events that took place in this city that prompted the creation of this agreement in the first place. It's been described as a landmark creation and a model for a lot of other communities. Was it that big of a deal then?
Yeah, it was. And I'll just correct one thing in your intro. You described the lawsuit that generated the collaborative agreement as a 2002 lawsuit. We had actually filed the class action complaint in March of 2001 before Timothy Thomas was shot. And Iris, along with the rest of the Black United Front, which I represented, had the pulse of the community down just right. And she was sure that everything was hot, everything was about to blow, and we needed to act quickly, and did, filed a preliminary injunction, trying to get ahead of the frustration in the community. And we had actually proposed this collaborative process back then, even before the uprising.
And ultimately, Al, it emerged with the supervision of the federal government. The Department of Justice was involved in this. Can you talk a little bit about the work that went into creating it?
The collaborative agreement was the was a private lawsuit part, and the DOJ did a memorandum of agreement. And those combined brought about use of force reform, brought about accountability, which was very important to rebuilding trust, which included the establishment of the CCA, the establishment of the employee tracking system, which tracks employees so that we would know if somebody's going to start using poor judgment, transparency so that there'd be prompt reporting of critical incidents, lots of video, either the cruiser cams were put into the cars, and the adoption of Taser as a less lethal means was all done. And then, of course, as you mentioned in the outset, the establishment of problem solving, which was critical to the Black United Front, because our goal was to reduce arrests while we're reducing crime. And you do that by using problem solving, engaging all the participants in a problem. And then finally, we also were working on adopting bias-free policing, making sure we reduce the disparity in the arrests that still went on. So it was very ambitious.
Iris Rowley, I want to come back to you. Iris is the Collaborative Agreement Project Manager and a member of Black United Front. Iris, we know how high the tensions were in the early 2000s. We know how the tragedies mounted. When the Collaborative Agreement emerged out of that, what did the Black community feel? Did you feel a sense of satisfaction that action was being taken?
Well, Michael, first, let's put it into context. We're talking about one entity that interrupts Black life in a negative way, right, on a day-to-day basis. So we can't, you know, we really have to put these things where they belong. So we're talking about policing. We weren't talking, you know, the boycott talked about the housing, jobs, health, education, all those other things that interrupt also. But when we look at what we still see today, 20 years later, this week, we're watching the trial of Derek Chauvin, who murdered Mr. Floyd. So when we settled the lawsuit, and it took 18 months of negotiations, and it took communities to come out and give their stories, over 400, and it took 3,500 people to vote on what the goals of the collaborative was, of course, people were hopeful. But people were critical because they knew that there were other systems that needed to be changed right alongside the policing at the same time. So it's just like you get one thing and you should be grateful about that, and that should not be the narrative. We should see systematic change across the board. So your folk were, you know, hopeful about this, hopeful that the Black United Front would be, you know, would stay at the table with their attorneys to ensure that what was written, to ensure that what we said would actually happen. And that takes time. And so, you know, Michael, we often ask the community, how are you feeling? What is the relationship like? Because I can't, you know, just make a big old giant. The community said it's all better. We have to constantly stay in contact with them to make sure that people are performing well while they do their jobs in the area of public safety.
And on and I was just going to say, on that note, we will be talking about how the events of last summer added a sense of more urgency to a refresh. We will be talking about that coming up. I want to turn, though, to Senior Assistant City Solicitor Emily Werner. Can you explain the process to us that I imagine your office would be involved in refreshing the collaborative agreement?
Of course. You know, I think the one thing that is clear is that the city administration is committed to refreshing the collaborative agreement. And so much like any other time that the city is looking to implement something that is a change, the law department is always there to advise. I think the thing to know is that the city law department, you know, we are city employees and we are embedded in much of the city function. And so that helps give us the opportunity to really have hands-on knowledge. I think one thing that is helpful that we see day to day are those labor and employment issues. So we're on that side of it as well. And so it's not only, you know, for the collaborative agreement refresh that the law department supports, but things like this past summer when we negotiated a new contract with the FOP to get significant concessions on discipline, you know, how we work with body-worn camera technology, all of those things are really part and parcel to the collaborative agreement, the ideas behind that, even if it's not particularly about that refresh.
And you're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks, joined today by Cincinnati Black United Front member and Collaborative Agreement Project Manager Iris Rowley, Friedman, Gilbert, and Gerhardstein attorney and partner Al Gerhardstein, Cincinnati City Manager Paula Boggs-Muthing, and Cincinnati Senior Assistant City Solicitor Emily Warner. We're discussing the collaborative agreement and the ongoing refreshing of that agreement. So I want to turn back to Al. What would a refresh look like from your perspective?
Well, the most important thing we want from the refresh is to make sure the door stays wide open. The most helpful thing about the collaborative, and I'll give Paula and Emily credit, is that if they stay engaged with the community, we'll get to all the projects that need to get done. And so it's very important that we continue to identify and improve those aspects of policing and public safety that aren't quite up to snuff. And related to that is, for example, the recommendations that were just made on Monday by the Citizens Complaint Authority about how to deal with mentally ill suspects, about first aid when a suspect is injured during a use of force, and about the Critical Incident Review Board. All good stuff. And one of the things that the collaborative refresh will do is make sure that we take those recommendations and deal with them promptly so that the community doesn't get frustrated just sitting on its hands waiting. And the other thing that's very related to all this is that the police have the most credibility with the community when they reflect the community. And a couple of years ago, we were able to get the Public Safety Academy established through a charter amendment and a special provision for civil service credit when people who graduate from that take the civil service test. And I'm hoping, and this will just be my little plug to Paula for that Biden money, that whatever money can be set aside to make sure that the Public Service Academy, the Public Safety Academy, goes forward as part of the overall collaborative effort, that would be great so that we get good candidates homegrown for fire and police.
Paula, I'll give you an opportunity to respond to that.
Well, I appreciate Al bringing that up. I think we are happy to promote the Public Service Academy. We have run into a few issues that Emily may want to speak to with respect to the Public Service Academy. But I think in terms of the overall goal of recruiting great local people to the police department, that certainly is something that the chief and I have prioritized.
Emily, did you want to add to that? Do we still have Emily?
My apologies. Sometimes there's ways that state law restricts what cities can do, but what I can say is that we're always looking for creative ways and ways to really attract people to be talented public servants for the city, including for police and fire, because we do want those entities to reflect the diversity of our community.
Coming up just ahead, we're going to talk about the impact of last summer's protest in the wake of more Black people killed at the hands of police and how that reflects in Cincinnati with these ongoing talks about the collaborative agreement. And a little later on, we'll talk about riot, uprising, civil unrest, how and why we define events like what happened here in 2001. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue now with our conversation about police reform and the Cincinnati Collaborative Agreement. We're joined today by Cincinnati Black United Front member and Collaborative Agreement Project Manager Iris Rowley, Friedman, Gilbert, and Gerhardstein attorney and partner Al Gerhardstein, Cincinnati City Manager Paula Boggs-Muthing, and Cincinnati Senior Assistant City Solicitor Emily Werner. Iris, I want to turn back to you because we've talked a bit about this week with various people about the similarities and the differences from what happened here in Cincinnati in 2001 to what happened all across the country last summer in 2020 in response to a similar set of tragic circumstances. And I was wondering if you would share your feelings on that.
Sure. Thank you for that question, Michael. I think last summer was what you saw last summer was people, you know, taking their lives in their own hands. Because remember, we had just rolled into an environment of coronavirus and we're in a pandemic. And so to watch these incidences across the country, happen across the country to Black people, whether it was Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, or Mr. Blake, it was just, it was too much. And it was sort of how we felt in 2001. When we filed the lawsuit, as my attorney just said, in 2001, we thought that this would be the impetus to stop this type of violence towards the Black community. But yet we still had Timothy Thomas 2 weeks after we had filed in federal court, and subsequently more even after that. So then you fast forward to 2020, and you see these incidences happen to Black people about very small, minute things that should be worked out at that point of contact. They should not end up in death. It should not end up in continuous traumatization of communities. And so we expect, when we see these things, that Black people are just going to be able to move forward with some ability to be normal and rational. It just doesn't work that way. And I think that when you saw all of these people, not just in the United States of America, but across the world, come out and say, in the world is wrong with police in the United States of America. And that's why it's critical for the city of Cincinnati to really step up to the plate and be the leader that I know that we can be. We have a blueprint to do that, which calls for engaging those communities. I wish last summer that the city and the police were out talking to people about the things that we had done, stating that our no-knock warrant policy was a little different than what was in Louisville, stating that we don't have, we changed the chokehold policy after Roger Owensby, ended after someone had to die. And that's what I mean by dragging our feet. We should be able to stand tall on the changes that we make, quantify them with the data, and continuously invite community to be involved in solution-driven activities when it relates to community and police. And that's how we change the narrative here in the city of Cincinnati. And until we all agree that we need to do that, we should be doing that, you will see this happen again. And that's what that's why I went out and found the young folk, and they now are calling themselves leaders of the free world, who want to continue to take this work forward for the next 20 years so that the equity and the transparency and the accountability will reach all of Cincinnatians, and people will know that Cincinnati is a different city as it relates to policing.
Al Gerhardstein is a civil rights attorney here in Cincinnati. Al, you and Iris co-wrote an op-ed published in the Cincinnati Inquirer in 2019 talking about the opportunities that a refresh of the collaborative agreement offers towards racial respect. And then a year later, we saw what happened last summer. Do you think the events of last summer added to the urgency of what you've been calling for?
Oh, absolutely. And it's good to see so many people engaged locally. Iris was able to get 250 people to sign up saying that they will stay engaged on police reform and on police issues. And not only is it the civil side, the items that, you know, we raise as stakeholders to the collaborative, but we as a community are also very concerned about holding police officers accountable on the criminal side, which is what's unfolding with Derek Chauvin right now. We've had Stephen Roach, we've had Robert Blaine, Jorg, we've had Patrick Caton, we've had Ray Tensing, police officers, all tried here in Cincinnati, none of them convicted. And we've had a couple of those seek their jobs back, get reinstated with hundreds of thousands of dollars of back pay. So, you know, we're challenged just like anywhere else to make sure that we live our values and that we hold police accountable just like we would if we used excessive force against another citizen. And we've still got, a ways to go to make sure that all that's going to happen. And finally, I'll just say that Emily's right about the FOP contract. We took a very important step, supported by the Cincinnati Black United Front, in changing the way arbitration is done. And that was very welcome and good evidence of collaboration between the city and the Cincinnati Black United Front.
And Emily, absolutely. Thank you, Emily.
Emily Werner is the senior assistant city solicitor who is also with us. Emily, did you want to respond to that at all?
I think it shows that we are in a situation where the people inside the city are dedicated to change. And we all believe in that, and we want to improve it from the inside by listening to voices from outside of the city. And I think that the FOP contract is an example of that.
City manager.
If I could just raise one other thing, Michael.
Yes.
And that is, when Ray Tensing was tried, there was very extensive ongoing conversation between the city solicitor, between the city manager, and all the stakeholders in the community out on the street. And I'm thinking that it would be very good to reactivate those lines of communication for the end of the Chauvin trial so that we all are heard. And that might reduce some of the tension that we saw in the street protests of last summer.
And we should note that Ray Tensing was an officer at the University of Cincinnati and killed Sam DuBose, who was 43 when that took place. I want to talk to City Manager Paula Boggs-Muthing before we start to wrap things up here in this conversation that I hope our listeners have enjoyed and learned from. Paula, what did the events of last summer do on your end as it relates to a sense of urgency and getting back to the table and refreshing the collaborative agreement?
Well, I guess I want to say a few things. The first is that I agree with both Iris and Al about the importance of engaging the community and community conversations, building trust before incidents occur. And we have reached out to the MAG so that we can have some conversations with that group prior to the verdict in the Chauvin trial. I do think that we have been committed to transparency and providing as much information as possible, but Iris is right that we have not been we could be more proactive in our communications about the differences in the policies like the no-knock warrant and other things that have kind of been part of the national conversation that I don't know that we have done a particularly good job in addressing. I think that the events of last summer, in combination with the pandemic, really, I think they required us to think about kind of all things differently and to understand that we were facing some real challenges that we were uniquely positioned to address because we do have this framework already in place. And if we can continue to work on building trust with members of the community, on improving the relationship between police and members of the community that I know the chief is committed to, and hearing good ideas. No one has the license on good ideas, so they come from all over. And if we are open to those, we can really improve how we do things in Cincinnati, and we are committed to that.
Paula Boggs-Muthing is the Cincinnati City Manager. Emily Werner is the Cincinnati Senior Assistant City Solicitor. Al Gerhardstein is a partner at Friedman, Gilbert, and Gerhardstein. And Iris Rowley is a member of the Cincinnati Black United Front and the project manager for the collaborative agreement. Iris, Al, Paula, Emily, thanks to all of you for the time you gave us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.